And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show podcast in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website. It is nickcraig.com. Hopefully you had a great and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend, a beautiful one weather-wise, across southeastern North Carolina. Back here live on a Tuesday morning, and we've got a very interesting saga that is continuing to unfold here in southeastern North Carolina, this being the battle over the replacement for the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge. For folks that have been following local news and issues for any period of time, you'll know that this is nothing new. The Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, the discussion of what to do, a viable replacement for the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, is a conversation that has gone back in decades in some cases. You can go back almost 20 years and see some early discussions taking place about what to do with the southernmost facing connector between New Hanover and Brunswick County. There was discussion of a third bridge further south. That never materialized, went anywhere. And now we're in a position where you've got a bridge that opened in the late 1960s, that being the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, that fixed span bridge that needs to be replaced. Now, fortunately, it's still a safe bridge. Fortunately, structurally, it is still sound, but the maintenance is becoming increasingly more expensive. And just as of a couple of years ago, the bridge is at the end of its usable life. Now, that doesn't mean that it's falling into the river. That's not the case at all, but it is at a point now where the North Carolina Department of Transportation, which is responsible for the bridge, does not see a viable path going forward for that structure long term, so they need to discuss a permanent replacement. There has been a lot of discussion back and forth for those that have followed me for years. Back on the radio, we discussed a couple of different options for replacement, and one of the ones that has continued to bubble to the surface has been replacing this bridge with a toll bridge, which would, by the way, be the first time that that's ever taken place in North Carolina. The first time that a piece of infrastructure, a publicly funded piece of infrastructure, is scheduled and could be replaced with a paid alternative. Now, let me be the first to say, I am not opposed to toll roads. I'm not opposed to toll bridges. They have and make a lot of sense, especially for folks that are that lived and spent any significant time in the Northeast. You'll know that there are plenty of toll roads and plenty of toll bridges, and it speeds up your commute drastically. But I will state again, as I've stated for years, I am adamantly opposed to what DOT is talking about here, what various groups are talking about here, which is taking a taxpayer-funded bridge, something that you and I and residents across the state of North Carolina have paid into through the gas tax, vehicle registration, all of the various fees that DOT collects throughout the years. I am adamantly opposed and think it is completely absurd that DOT does not have a plan in place, seemingly, and will not have a plan in place to replace the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge. Southeastern North Carolina is one of the fastest growing populations anywhere in the state of North Carolina. You can look at the statistics out of Brunswick County. It is ballooning. You can look at the statistics in Pender County. It's ballooning. New Hanover County growth continues as well. The fact that DOT does not have a substantial plan in place to actually replace this bridge, and we are continually discussing, well, maybe we need to toll it, maybe we need to do this, is absurd. But we've got some new details this morning, specifically coming from the Army Corps of Engineers. They are now weighing in on some potential changes that are going on here. In a letter sent to the North Carolina Department of Transportation 2 weeks ago, the U.S. Army Corps says that the minimum height of the bridge should be 135 feet. We'll get into why that's relevant coming up in a little bit. The U.S. Coast Guard also gave its option as well to DOT. Both agencies are in charge with ensuring the safety of the navigation channel, which is the Cape Fear River. But the Coast Guard's bridge permit decision will be the final say and determined what the Army Corps of Engineers' input was. The Army Corps addressed its letter to Trevor Carroll. He's the Division 3 engineer for the North Carolina Department of Transportation and says, quote, "Any bridge with a vertical clearance under 135 feet would be injurious to the purpose of the federal project, and the usefulness of the federal project would be negatively impacted." The agency is referring to the Wilmington Harbor Navigation Project. Though originally authorized back in 1930, the project was updated in 1996 for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to maintain a depth of 138 feet from the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge to the Hilton Railroad Bridge. So that's from the Cape Fear Memorial north to past the Isabel Holmes towards the Hilton Railroad Bridge, which is just north of downtown Wilmington. So that whole span of downtown Wilmington, the Army Corps of Engineers is responsible for maintaining a depth of 138 feet in the middle of that channel. While the Army Corps wrote in its letter that it has terminated further analysis of any clearance less than 135 feet, the agency also suggested the idea that a clearance could potentially be 147 feet or higher to accommodate large vessels for which the channel was designed. The Army Corps gauged the 147-foot information based on a 1996 feasibility study through the Navigational Project. Though the study scope didn't particularly include bridge heights, it noted the specifications of design vessel consideration in determining harbor depth, including north of the bridge. The design vessel had a length of 712 feet, a width of 106 feet, and up to 75,000 gross tons. In its analysis, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers reports that a vessel with those dimensions typically needs a height range between 120 and 147 feet. Thus, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers concludes that a bridge less than 135 feet would essentially be limiting the channel's potential. So you've got a couple of different things going on here as we look at this story. You've got a couple of different various interests that are taking place, right? Obviously, you've got the navigation of the bridge from the standpoint of cars going over. That's obviously substantial. Then you've got the navigational element of all of it, where you've got a bridge that is in a waterway, like the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge is, and the discussion and the idea that, well, you are in a position where you want vessel traffic to go. Now, it is important to note that the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge is north of the Port of Wilmington, which continues to grow and continues to be a huge economic driver in southeastern North Carolina. So with this, the Army Corps saying that the bridge needs to be a minimum of 135 feet. Now, this makes things ever more complicated as we go forward with the price tag and how we pay for this whole thing. The current Cape Fear Memorial Bridge is a 65-foot structure with a movable span that reaches 135 feet. You've all driven and seen the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge. The platform in the center is able to rise up, and at that point, it is able to get up to 135 feet. It was built in 1969, which obviously very much predated that 1996 feasibility study. The U.S. Army Corps noted that there has been no determination that the current bridge has impaired the usefulness or purpose of the harbor deepening, thus why the agency went with that 135-foot minimum, exactly what it has right now. The bridge has been in place since opened up in the late 1960s. So with that, the Army Corps believes that is a viable path forward. Conversations about the bridge height, of course, have been a hot topic over the last couple of years, as the cost of a 135-foot bridge is currently looking to cost more than $1 billion, currently escalating by more than half since last year when it was announced that the NCDOT received a $252 million grant from the Biden administration to help pay for the bridge. The grant is on pause by the current Trump administration, and NCDOT has indicated just in the last couple of weeks the only way to fund the remainder would be a toll if alternative sources aren't available. So you've got this amount of money that's coming from the federal government, $252 million, not a small sum. But when you look at the cost of this project, which is undoubtedly going to be probably in the ballpark of $1.5 billion when everything is said and done, $252 million does nothing. It's not a substantial amount of money in the slightest. And I would argue it makes absolutely no difference whether that money comes from the federal government or not. Because the fact of the matter is the state of North Carolina, through the North Carolina Department of Transportation, doesn't have another $1 billion to spend on the bridge. So that leaves us where we are right now, where because a plan was not put in place, because I would argue that DOT was not serious enough about this project for the last 20 years when they should have been, local entities weren't serious about this for the last 20 years like they should have been, now we're in the position where we're out of time. Because the bridge is ending its usable life. The maintenance costs are skyrocketing. There will eventually come a time where the bridge is no longer safe for people to drive on. I don't know when that is. Hopefully it's not anytime soon, but that is coming eventually. Now they have no other choice but to look at a toll option. While many have called for a 100-foot bridge, others, including the Wilmington Chamber, have advocated for a 135-foot clearance, citing the potential for commercial growth. However, vessels traveling north of the bridge have diminished as businesses have exited on the roughly 1,000 acres of land that was once intended for industrial use. That would be as you get north of the battleship. There used to be a whole lot of business that operated on the Cape Fear River in that area. That business that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, you are not seeing very infrequently, or you're seeing very large vessels north of the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, because there's really nothing up there. There's not much that goes on in that area where it makes sense. I remember years ago, and we're going back probably, more than 5 years, probably 6 years ago is the last time I remember seeing, when I worked in downtown Wilmington, a very large vessel north of the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge. It just doesn't happen. So with this, a vertical height clearance would allow ships to reach those areas and potential businesses, despite the fact that the current 65-foot movable span opening has declined by around 63% since 2019. Ahead of making a determination, the agency welcomed community feedback on NCDOT's options earlier this year, and that is where we stand this morning. So with this, the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization, the WMPO, and their board is set to consider a resolution at a meeting tomorrow to support including the bridge replacement project as a toll facility in the North Carolina Department of Transportation's upcoming State Transportation Improvement Program, also known as the STIP. You've likely heard about that if you followed not only the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, but some other major road projects across southeastern North Carolina. That you hear the acronym STIP all of the time, and it's the system that they use to grade projects and determine what is a priority. And one of the major drivers of the STIP is this something that we can pay for? Is this something that we can afford? Is this something that there are funds available to actually move forward with? If the money's not there, it significantly affects the grading of the project, because if there's no money to complete it, why would you rate it high and why would you put it on your priority list? And that's unfortunately where the issue exists right now. DOT doesn't have the money. The federal government is kicked in a little bit, $252 million, but it's not substantial enough to really change the formula. We've continually heard from members, including Senator Tom Tillis, about how this is going to get done. It's going to happen. They're going to secure the money. I haven't seen it. I mean, unless Congress is going to appropriate $1 billion for this bridge, which I don't see happening, as of right now, there appears to be no other option. So that meeting is scheduled to take place tomorrow. The resolution also supports amending the Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045 plan, which is a local transportation plan, to include the replacement of the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge as a toll facility. The resolution also states that the WMPO has, quote, the right to withdraw any approval of a toll option at any time up until the Department of Transportation advertises for a contract to construct the replacement bridge. The WMPO board voted last fall, early last year, rather. They voted in January of 2024 when board members voted 8-5 in support of a resolution asking for state transportation officials to evaluate a toll option as they worked to find funding a replacing aging bridge. So that was to look at, is this a viable solution? Is this something going forward? However, the meeting that's scheduled to take place tomorrow seems to indicate that they are moving even one step more forward on that. They're saying to the North Carolina Department of Transportation, we support a bridge replacement project with a toll, because from the WMPO standpoint, they don't believe that there's any other money. They don't believe that there's any other funds available. So with that, now you've got a very interesting discussion that's been interesting, but I think it gets even more interesting in the coming probably months and years. Weeks is probably not super relevant because this stuff is so far out. So all of this to be said, you've got a pretty miserable situation going on. You've got a failing piece of infrastructure, not failed yet, not unsafe yet, but a statistically aging, failing piece of infrastructure, which is a bridge. It's been sitting above a brackish form of water since 1969. It continues to have skyrocketing costs as it relates to maintenance. And there will come a time, hopefully not soon, but eventually, in which that bridge is no longer safe. DOT is unable to keep up with the maintenance, and they will say, we've got to close the bridge. And we saw what happened when the bridge was closed when they just did that huge repair last year. It was a disaster. The Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, you know, we had one lane closed in each direction for weeks on end. And that caused some serious traffic problems and some serious work nightmares for people that lived either in Brunswick County and work in New Hanover, or people that work in New Hanover and work in Brunswick. It was an impossibility. You had many companies that said, yeah, hey, for the next like 8 weeks, you guys can work remotely because it's not practical for you to drive into work. Your commute time is now going to be an hour plus what used to be a 25-minute drive. It just wasn't practical. And it's unfortunate that we're in this situation, but now the North Carolina Department of Transportation is asking the WMPO to reaffirm its support for a toll option. It reads as follows. A spokesperson in an email to the Wilmington Business Journal last week said, quote, for planning purposes, NCDOT needs clarification from the WMPO whether the toll option should stay in the draft for the 26 through 2035 State Transportation Improvement Program, or STIP. For the project to move forward as told, further affirmation by the WMPO board is required per the board's January 2024 resolution and state law. Why is that relevant? Well, the WMPO is the final co-signer on whether this moves forward as a toll option. If the MPO is not in favor of a toll option, which I don't think they should be, but if they are in fact not in favor of it, DOT cannot go out and bid the project as a toll. The MPO has the final say. The MPO gets to determine whether or not this project moves forward as a toll bridge. And I get both sides of the argument here. I truly do. Even though I'm adamantly opposed to it being replaced by a toll bridge, it is a fair and valid thing to say, well, there's no other options available. And as it stands right now, there's a lot of truth in that statement, unfortunately. The NCDOT, with all of its mismanagement, with all of the disasters that they've had over the last couple of decades, losing hundreds of millions of dollars on projects, money magically disappearing from DOT, forever road projects that run 60, 70, 80% over budget. I mean, it's just a mess. And the money's not there. I'm not sure that the federal government has the appetite to kick in $1 billion for a bridge. $252 million from the Biden administration is such a minuscule drop in the bucket that it doesn't change really the discussion substantially at all. It's still going to be told whether the bridge costs, the bridge is going to cost over $1 billion. So whether the feds kick in $200 million or not, you're still tolling the bridge. I don't believe it has any substantial difference at all. According to the WMPO resolution passed last year, state law and the North Carolina Toll Project Development Handbook requires all affected MPOs must approve the project for inclusion in its comprehensive transportation plan, metropolitan transportation plan, or other adopted local laws. That's right there. The point of the MPO has the last say. With the toll option included, the bridge replacement ranks 9th overall in a draft of the department's prioritization, which was released in June of last year. The toll project also received a potential commitment of $85 million in funding. Meanwhile, the untolled option ranks number 211 statewide and remains unfunded. Like that $85 million has any impact. The cost of replacing the bridge has climbed in the last year from an estimated $437 million up to $1.1 billion, according to DOT officials. So that's essentially where we stand right now. The WMPO board meets at 3 o'clock tomorrow, where they will discuss this. There will likely be some very interesting conversation as it relates to the bridge debate, where they go forward. You'll hear from various local elected officials who make up the MPO as to what their thoughts are on it. 3 o'clock at the WMPO boardroom. That's at 525 North 4th Street downtown. That meeting is also open for people in person and will be available for folks on Zoom as well. I'll make sure to have some recorders rolling on that meeting tomorrow afternoon, and I'll provide all of the pertinent details and information coming up for you on a Thursday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Before we continue with our program this morning, I want to tell you about the Law Group here in Wilmington and thank them for their continued support of the show. When legal challenges arise for you or your family, trust the Law Group in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern NC. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team will ensure that your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, they're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online and view all of the various services in which they specialize in at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088, or online at their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication that you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. Turning some attention this morning to international news as tensions continue to brew between Ukraine and Russia. What seemed like it was a situation that could have potentially been figuring itself out, something that hopefully was trending in the right direction. That doesn't seem to be the case this morning as Russia launched its largest ever drone and missile assault on Ukraine Sunday into Monday night local time, according to Ukrainian officials, defying President Donald Trump's call for an end to the bombardment. Ukraine's Air Force said that Russia launched more than 350 explosive drones and at least 9 cruise missiles into the country. Kiev scrambled aircraft and deployed electronic warfare systems as well as a mobile air defense team throughout the country in response. The latest attack came just a couple of days after President Trump issued a strong rebuke of Russian President Vladimir Putin, denouncing airstrikes on the Ukrainian capital that killed at least 12 people on Sunday. Trump saying in a post on Truth Social, quote, "He has gone absolutely crazy. He is needlessly killing a lot of people, and I'm not just talking about soldiers. Missiles and drones are being shot into cities in Ukraine for no reason whatsoever." He also criticized Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, saying in the same post that Zelensky is doing his country no favor by talking the way that he does. The Kremlin said on Monday that the strikes were in response to Ukrainian attacks in Russian territory, which Moscow said involved dozens of drones over the weekend. Ukrainian officials said that the strikes damaged several Russian military industrial facilities, including a factory that makes parts for ballistic missiles. Russia's defense ministry said its own overnight salvo against Ukraine struck an airbase in the central region of the country, as well as other military objectives and objects in several regions. A spokesperson for the Russian president says, quote, "This was a retaliatory strike." He called Trump's criticism of Putin an emotional reaction at a time when Russia and Ukraine are taking some steps with the United States, encouragement to open talks about ending the war. And I read that quote last night and I was thinking, really? You want me to believe? You want people to believe that you guys are actually interested in taking steps towards ending this war? Am I blind and deaf? Have I not seen? Have I not read? Have I not listened to what's been going on over the last couple of months? You guys aren't serious. It appears that neither side is serious about ending this conflict. Day after day, week after week, there's all of this gaslighting about, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. None of it comes to fruition. Both sides are continuing to attack the other in their various territories. And yes, in this case, they're going after strategic military, you know, objects and strategic resources throughout the countries. I get all of that, but they're still attacking each other. Russia's sending in ballistic missiles and drones. Ukraine is sending in drones and striking Russian stockpiles and Russian factories. Both sides are continuing to do it. So I don't believe for a second that either side is actually serious about ending this war. And this puts President Donald Trump in a very, very interesting position. He has been the one that has been beating the drum publicly on bringing this thing to some sort of resolution. And as you've heard me say in the past, there's not going to be a traditional winner or loser like you would expect. Team A is not going to win. Team B is not going to win. That's not how this is going to go down, if it goes down at all. At this point, it seems like it could be a fair assumption to say, well, no matter what happens, either side is just going to continue going on through this in perpetuity. There's never going to be an end to this war. And I wouldn't fault you for believing that with everything that you've read, seen, and watched over the last couple of months, because it just doesn't seem like either side is actually serious about this. So it puts Trump in a very precarious situation because there's only really so much he can do. He had from all accounts, a very productive phone call with Putin last week. Obviously, that didn't last very long. Zelensky continues to run his mouth publicly about what's going on. Neither side is serious about peace. Neither side is serious about bringing an end to the war. And it's unfortunate because you look at what's going on, and as the president noted in his post on Truth Social, he has no interest. It appears that neither side has any interest in stopping the bloodshed. It appears that neither side is actually serious about bringing this conflict down and lowering the tensions here. The latest exchange of missiles, according to the Wall Street Journal, of missiles and drones, comes as efforts to end the war have reached something of an impasse. Russia last month dismissed a proposed 30-day ceasefire that was brokered by Trump and accepted by Ukraine, and it has instead insisted that Kiev first agree to discuss its disarmament and abandonment of its aspirations to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. After a call with Trump last week, Putin said some sort of memorandum could soon be drafted that commits Moscow and Kiev to working on a peace deal. But according to details out just yesterday, that even in this internal document, essentially an agreement to keep talking have not yet been finalized by the Russian side, let alone been proposed to Kiev for them to sign as well. The only tangible result of talks this month between Russia and Ukraine in Istanbul, the first face-to-face negotiations in nearly 3 years, were prisoner swaps involving around 1,000 soldiers from either side. Prisoners of war from Ukraine and Russia began arriving home on Friday. The intensifying campaign of Russia and Ukrainian strikes come as both sides step up production of strike drone capabilities of flying hundreds of missiles across each other's borders. And that's the point. It just doesn't seem that either side is willing to do anything. And I get it from the Ukraine side. I get it from the Russian side. I understand Russia's not going to say, well, we're going to stop doing this because they still believe that Ukraine is going to attack. Ukraine is not going to stop producing and preparing itself because they are going to say, well, Russia's going to attack. Both sides believe that the other's going to continue to move. So I see why both sides are acting or feeling in this manner. But the reality is something that's very simple. Neither side is going to win. Russia is not going to take over Ukraine. They had the opportunity to do that 3 years ago, and they failed miserably. Ukraine is not going to push in and take over Russia. That is completely unfeasible. So both sides are going to lose. It is very interesting to see President Donald Trump now beginning to ratchet up the talks against Putin. I mean, he called him crazy in a post on Truth Social this weekend. That has not been the strategy taken by Trump, because he understands that saying that and proclaiming that publicly doesn't get you anywhere. We saw Biden attempt to do that, right? He never picked up the phone and called Putin. He would just go on TV and have speeches where he'd call him a dictator and all of these words to describe him, all accurate, but doesn't move the ball forward. I mean, insulting the guy and calling him a war criminal is not going to cause him to come to the negotiating table and push for peace. Trump has tried that strategy. He has backed off some of the public comments, some of the public conversations, and unfortunately, that's gotten him nowhere either. So at the end of the day, the United States, I believe, needs to continue to divorce itself from the situation. Let the rest of Europe, you know, we've got all these strong countries in the European Union that talk all this big game about how great they are and how they are going to help broker a deal. Time for them to step up. Let the EU, let the UK, let all these countries throughout Europe step up and find the solution to this whole thing. It's their freaking problem anyway. Let them step up and do it. The United States needs to continue to divorce itself from this situation. I would say at this point, Trump probably has done all he can do. I don't know that he necessarily should throw in the towel. I don't know that that's the best approach in this case, but he's running out of options. He's running out of substantial, viable things that he can recommend and put forward. He's had the phone calls. He's attempted to get both sides to the party. He brokered the 30-day ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia. Russia snuffed at it and said, not a chance, we're not going to sign it. I'm just, at this point, kind of struggling to wrap my head around what sort of choices does the president have left. Now, he can continue to ratchet up sanctions on Russia. There's been some discussion of that over the weekend, but that's not going to bring an end to the war. That's not, you know, and if he does that, that's fine. I don't particularly care one way or the other. But those sanctions have been in place. You can continue to put those sanctions on. Russia's not going to just give up the fight on this thing. They're just not. Ukraine is just not going to give up the fight on this thing. They're just not. The sanctions seemingly have no impact on Russia, at least from a public facing standpoint. It absolutely affects their economy. I'm not going to take anything away from that. But from a pure, like, oh, they're going to shake in their boots over this, it's not going to have a substantial enough impact there at all. So it leaves you in this, it leaves the United States in this very precarious spot. We've already invested hundreds of billions of dollars into Ukraine. The ROI on that, the return on investment, has been nothing substantial. The lines have not moved. Russia continues to attack. Ukraine continues to attack, then continues to beg for more money. Nothing's moved. This war has been brewing now for 3 years. And we've seen no substantial movement in a significant amount of time. So I really don't know where you go from here. I really don't. I don't envy President Trump's position on this at all. I'll give him credit for wanting to try and bring both parties to the table. I'll give him credit for trying to make things happen and trying to bring these parties together. But unfortunately, it just hasn't worked. There's too much pride that's going on between these two countries. Neither of them are willing to give up major concessions. It's a miserable situation, one that I don't believe there's a significant end in sight. I just don't. Russia's not going to give up. Ukraine's not going to give up. It's a mess. So we'll continue to follow those details. If there is anything, if anything moves forward, who knows where things kind of move in the next period of time. As we sit here this morning, I wish I could tell you I had some better news. I had better information to provide to you, but I really don't. I just don't see either side moving in a substantial matter, at least as of right now. I just don't see it. I mean, Trump is absolutely furious with Vladimir Putin. This was the president speaking about this situation with CNN. I believe this would be the 25th. So this is going to be a Sunday U.S. time speaking to reporters outside of Morristown, New Jersey. The clip coming from CNN this morning. Take a listen.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
President, what do you want to do about
that? And I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. We'll see what we're going to do. What am I going to tell you? Well, you're the fake news, aren't you? You're totally fake. All right, any other questions? I don't like what Putin is doing, not even a little bit. He's killing people. And something happened to this guy, and I don't like it.
Yeah, he's pissed. I mean, there's no way to skin that cat. Trump is pissed. But him being pissed is unfortunately not going to do anything. I mean, that's the unfortunate reality of this situation. So that's where we stand right now. I wish I had better news to pass along to you, but that's where things stand right now. Well, as it always is the case, news days, either Mondays or Tuesdays after multiple day holiday weekends, unfortunately, do not have a whole lot of news. So we are going to end it there for a Tuesday edition, expecting a lot in Washington, D.C. over the next couple of days. The House has gone forward with their budget. They have sent it over to the Senate. Senators are not happy with that. That discussion will continue to unfold. From a North Carolina standpoint, the General Assembly does not have anything substantial planned this week. I believe they're kind of off this week for extended Memorial Day holiday weekend for them. So no substantial stuff going on in the General Assembly. Obviously, we've got that big WMPO meeting coming up tomorrow. So there'll be plenty of news as we roll on through the week. Just a little short here on a Tuesday morning. Once again, thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support of the show. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Thanks for joining us live this morning, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with you tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.